Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, from the Common English Bible. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith for each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ. Individually, we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. My niece and nephew are starting school tomorrow. I understand that many of our kids are starting school next week. There's all different school systems with the different start dates, and it gets a little confusing. There's only a few weeks left of enjoying the pools and the beaches. Evenings are getting a little bit cooler, and soon we'll be looking forward to fire pits and s'mores. How many people are summer people? You enjoy it to the fullest. The summer heat is just a part and parcel of the good times. Okay, now how many people are looking forward to the fall and the cool weather and the leaves? And more people are fall people. Okay. I myself am an Ecclesiastes 3 kind of person. For everything, there is a season. I love the summer. I love going to the beach and the water park. I love wearing dresses and flip-flops. I love not having to put on layers when I walk my dogs in the morning. I love the colors of the leaves changing and the overall comfort of being outdoors and not having to, like, breathe in water. I like to go for longer walks because it's cooler outside and I don't come back in the house dripping in sweat. In my family, though, we don't switch the seasons based on the equinox. It's based on my birthday. My best friend, who I consider a sister, and I, we share a birth month. We're only 6 days apart, and I love the summer and want it to last as long as it lasts, and she loves the fall and gets excited about October in August. October is her vibe. So the compromise is that fall starts on September 10th, right after my birthday, a few days before hers. For many of us, the seasonal calendar aligns with the school year more than the equinox as well. It's been some time since I've been in school, but carved in the stone at the top of the entrance to Duke Divinity School is this verse: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That may be the theme of the rigorous educational experience at Duke Divinity School, but seminary is not the only place where our minds may be renewed. It's hard to believe that this is my 7th Sunday as your pastor. Time is moving pretty quickly. As we move into fall together, as we work together to choose new leaders, as we begin to dream about our future together, As students head back to school and summer comes to a close, unless you're moving to a tropical island in which it's summer always, we have the opportunity to seek renewal together. I think often we read scripture as, and we have a tendency to individualize it. The text, what is the text saying to me? What is God asking me to do? How is God moving me? How is God leading me in this season? But listen to this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, siblings in the family of God, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Notice the plural bodies and the singular sacrifice. This text is actually about all of us together. Before we focus on how we experience transformation, the positive appeal from Paul, I think we should explore what he's asking us not to do first. His letter to the Romans urges Christians to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. So what are the patterns of this world? The pattern of this world tells you that what you want and need is the most important thing. The pattern of the world emphasizes the individual instead of the community. I remember in the last school year hearing about kids, elementary school children, small, little, innocent children, thinking that they needed a Stanley water bottle to fit in. A Stanley water cup. This is a new Walla, I just got it. I don't think anyone cares. For us as adults, it's not a water bottle. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. For us, it's not a water bottle, but what is it? Is there something that someone else has that you think you need just because someone else has it? Laziness is a pattern of this world. Many people don't go above and beyond for anyone unless it's a benefit to them. The tendency is to not do unto others what we would want them to do for us. Eric and I have two cats. For several years, we've had an automated litter box, and it has been worth every penny that we spent on it. Recently, it stopped working, so we ordered a new one from a different company. The old saying, you get what you pay for, can sometimes be very accurate. It didn't work great. Our cats didn't like it. So we decided to return it. I could have just emptied it and put it back in its gigantic box, taking up an enormous amount of space in my house. But litter boxes are gross. So I felt like it was my responsibility to clean the cat box as best as I could so that when I put it back in the box in as close to new condition as it was, possible, so that whoever unboxed it and cleaned it for restocking didn't have to deal with a nasty mess that my cats made. And yet, it may not even be restocked. It may not even be cleaned. It may just be thrown away. I don't know what will happen to it when it gets returned. But that's a small-scale example of doing the right thing, even when we don't want to or even when we don't need to. On the larger scale, our society is set up in ways that take advantage of the poor. Big companies, in many ways, are not made up of individuals who can relate to the average person. Big companies are focused on their bottom line. If a person has a bad credit score, it's probably because they have trouble making ends meet and use credit to fill in the gaps. So when they need a loan for a car or a home or to take out a credit card to cover an emergency, the banks attach an exceedingly high predatory interest rate to punish people who are already struggling with debt. These practices make it impossible to get out of poverty. The patterns of this world put me first. Paul warns against pride and greed and lust throughout the book of Romans because rather than offering the carcass of an animal as an offering to God, Paul reveals that what God really wants is our lives to be an offering to God. When our individual lives are an offering to God, we join together collectively to serve one another and to serve those who God seeks us to serve. But how do we experience renewal? Hear the opening two verses from the Message translation. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. When we think about our lives, our everyday, ordinary, walking around lives as an offering to God, we can see that God is with us, even in the most mundane moments, which seems like it makes it easier for us to experience God's presence in the more challenging times. God isn't watching over us, waiting for us to mess up, marking each word we say with good or bad marks, tallying up the good against the bad to see if we'll make the cut. There is nothing we can do to make God stop loving us. But Jesus is the only way to make the cut. God does want us to be mindful of how our actions impact others. When we have a challenging relationship with someone, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, a classmate, if we're conformed to the patterns of this world, then we might gossip about them. We might be rude or unkind. We might think that they're stupid or just wrong. And we don't need to listen to them or their ideas. We might go out of our way to avoid being polite. But if we're sharing the same mind as Christ, we might genuinely hope they have a good day. We might pray for them because if we're struggling with them, they're probably struggling with something we don't know about. We might go out of our way to be kind and generous towards them. If we are sharing the mind of Christ, our outlook will be more like Jesus's. Our interactions won't be focused on ourselves, but on the good of the community, the good of the other. Other than prayer, how else might we try to share the same mind as Christ, as often as it may not come easily to us? How will we know when we are operating in God's will? Reading scripture, small groups, sharing our joys and our struggles with people who want to build us up, helping one another, giving someone a ride to the grocery store or a doctor's appointment or to church. Being in God's will can sometimes feel like a gigantic pile of uncertainty. Being in God's will doesn't mean if I choose to go to JMU instead of George Mason that God's going to be disappointed in me and God's plan for my life is now suddenly off the rails. No, God isn't confined by our choices. If God has a plan, God can change the plan to meet us where we are. Living in the will of God means that you are alive in Christ. You are a new creation, and you are striving to participate in the body of Christ, striving to live your life in a way that's pleasing to God, by loving God and loving your neighbors, by making your life an offering to God. I love how Paul explains that we belong to each other. God gives us to each other. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. The gift of prophecy is the proclamation of divine truth in line with the revealed word of God and the application of its relevance. The gift of serving is works of practical ministry whether it's at Fresh Food Wednesday or leadership on committees or elsewhere in the community. The gift of teaching, the exposition of Scripture, the training and equipping of new leaders and young minds, the gift of encouragement, encouraging the weak-hearted. The New English Bible describes this quality as the gift of stirring speech. The gift of generosity is the financial support, possibly financial guidance, the gift of time, even the ability to listen attentively can be a gift of generosity of your time to someone in need. The gift of leadership, administration, the ability to see a vision and know how to put the pieces and the people in place to reach a goal. The gift of kindness, the care of the sick, the poor, the aged, the disabled, the lonely. What is your gift? How are you using it to the benefit of the body of Christ? How are you using it to increase God's kingdom? That's what we have each other for. We can't be good at everything. I'm not good at everything, but I know by God's mercy where I am weak, someone of you is strong in an area that I'm not. And we can accomplish God's will together. Lately, I've been watching the early 2000s show, The West Wing. I was stunned by this illustration that the show's president, Jed Bartlett, made. I wish he was one of the nominees. Apparently, when a new pilot will fly into cloud cover, there'll be no visibility. And they'll check their gauges and look at their artificial horizon. It'll show them level, but they won't trust it. So they'll make an adjustment, and then another, and then another. He said, the number of new pilots who fly out of the clouds completely upside down would knock you out. In connection with our text today, when we're feeling like a new pilot, when we're feeling uncertain, rather than making many pointless adjustments, turning our lives completely upside down, we ought to trust God. Trust that God is the gauge showing us where the horizon is, showing us how to stay level. Just like the way we acknowledge that I once was lost and now I'm found is not a one-time trip, a one-time occurrence. We know that we'll get lost again and again, and we know that God will come find us again and again. And we must reckon with the fact that we will continually need renewal, both individually and as a community. We should continually be checking the gauge to make sure that we are in alignment with the horizon and where God is sending us. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, which ultimately turned into the United Methodist Church and all her sister denominations, had three simple rules. Do no harm. Do all the good you can. Attain to the ordinances of God. Simply put, stay in love with God. As we shift to a time of prayer, this may feel uncomfortable to you, especially if you're new here today. I invite you to turn to someone near you, maybe even someone across the aisle, preferably someone you don't already know extremely well, and share what spiritual practices help you to stay in love with God. I'll give you a couple minutes to share your prayers and your spiritual disciplines, but don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't start talking about your lunch plans or your vacation. We can talk about that later, and I do encourage it, but let's stay in worship now together as we talk about how we will stay in love with God individually and together. Almighty God, you are so good. We give you thanks for this day, for this time of worship together. You lead us here. Again and again, you lead us back into your presence, and you help us to experience a renewing of the mind, by conforming to your Son, by conforming to what it means to be a part of something, to share our gifts, to put others before ourselves, to lay our lives down as an offering to you. God, help us to experience your presence in the most simple ways as we go about our days, as we're driving to or from work or from running errands, as we're waiting for our groceries to be delivered or picked up, as we're just doing the normal things in our lives. Help us to know that you are with us. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to you in those moments between Sundays. Help us to live into the gifts of prophecy and serving and teaching and encouraging, that we might become new as we explore the gifts you've given to us. And we come together as the gathering at Scott Memorial with this prayer. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.